Welcome to the Humble Hoof Podcast. My name is Alicia Harlov. This is a podcast for both horse owners and hoof care professionals, offering discussions into various philosophies on the health of the hoof and soundness of your horse. Please check us out on Facebook or at thehumblehoof.com. A special thank you to our wonderful sponsor, Cavallo. For our Humble Hoof listeners, they are offering 15% off their Cavallo Trek hoof boots using the coupon code HRN at checkout. The Trek is the world's most popular and versatile hoof boot and Cavallo's toughest trail boot, while also doubling as an option for therapy or rehab. The front closure system makes it easily adaptable to various hoof shapes. TPU upper design allows for maximum strength while minimizing weight for the comfort and ease of movement for your horse. These are recommended by vets and trainers and also loved as transport boots by barrel racers, show jumpers, dressage riders, and everyone in between. Again, 15% off a pair of Treks. Use the code HRN at checkout at cavallo-inc.com. Well, everyone, we had a fantastic podcast call lined up for this week about pasture-associated laminitis with some of the amazing veterinarians and PhDs over at Mad Barn, but we're going to have to postpone that due to some internet connectivity issues and phone issues. So in the meantime, I thought I would hop on and do another mini episode about issues with metabolic horses this time of year. As we are nearing the end of summer, which is crazy, I don't know how this year flew by so fast, some of the things that we commonly see in metabolic horses are an increase in hoof soreness that might seem to come out of nowhere with no management changes, or even outright laminitis or founder that seems to have just happened overnight. This is honestly most common with horses that have either undiagnosed or unregulated PPID or Cushing's disease, or have PPID and they might not have the right dosage of medication, typically Perglide, that they need at the start of the seasonal rise. So what PPID is an endocrinopathic disease related to aging. It used to be called Cushing's disease, but professionals are moving away from that term because the mechanism behind PPID is actually different from Cushing's disease that we notice in people or small animals. So now Cushing's disease is called pituitary pars intermedia dysfunction, or PPID. So this is typically due to an enlargement of a part of the pituitary gland that's called the pars intermedia, and it's often called the master gland because it secretes hormones that controls other glands. This is part of the reason why its function causes so many problems, because that gland actually controls, or the hormones secreted by that gland control, other glands and functions in the body. Now, just a side note that this information is what I've learned from the ECIR group, or the Equine Cushing's and Insulin Resistance group, and Dr. Kellen over the years, and a lot of it is readily available on their website at ecirhorse.org. So the enlargement of the pars intermedia can lead to issues such as oxidative damage in the brain. They can cause a breakdown of neurons in the hypothalamus that can lead to an issue with dopamine not regulating the ACTH hormone. So in turn, the pars intermedia actually overproduces this ACTH. And this can lead to a host of issues all over the equine body and not just in the hooves. A lot of times when I mention to owners that, you know, hey, your horse looks a little bit more sore or they're having hoof issues in the fall, I'm wondering if you've ever tested for PPID. A lot of times owners return to me and say, well, they have a perfectly normal coat. One of the most recognized symptoms of PPID is a long or curly coat. You know, those older horses that you see that just look kind of shaggy. And unfortunately, this is one of the last symptoms of PPID when a horse has been struggling with this disease for years. So there are so many other symptoms that can come up before we see those coat changes. Some of the earlier signs might include lethargy or mood changes. We might see top line loss or muscle loss. A lot of times these horses can have weight loss or become a harder keeper. And we might even see a horse that has a pot belly, but they have ribs and the loss of top line. These horses often have excessive drinking or peeing. They might be slower to heal from cuts or injuries or even infections. They can have issues with sweating, so they might sweat too much, or they might, you know, fail to sweat. They can even have patchy sweating. They can have poor parasite resistance, so they can have a higher fecal egg count on their fecal exams because they're just not able to fight off those parasites. They can be hypersensitive to bugs and flies. So a lot of times in the summer, these horses might be bug intolerant. They might really, really hate being outside in the bugs more so than they have before. They also might be more heat intolerant and in the winter, cold intolerant. They're not able to regulate their body temperatures as they normally would. They might have an increase in vaccine reactions over previous years. They can have dental issues. They can have eyesight issues. They can have even infertility issues. And two of the most common issues that we might associate with PPID is that they can have laminitis or worsening hoof issues in general, especially in the fall. And as mentioned before, they can have coat changes. So this list is pretty extensive, and it's easy to see why many of the PPID symptoms can go unnoticed or dismissed in an older horse, because a lot of times some of these symptoms are just associated as, you know, oh, the horse is older, they're aging, they're having age-related issues. You know, if a horse is older and they seem to become a harder keeper or struggle with muscle loss, owners might think, well, you know, they are in their 20s now, it's just what's going to happen. Or if an older horse is struggling with dental issues, many owners might just shrug it off as decaying teeth. And, you know, it's just their age. The seasonal rise of ACTH was actually first discovered by a member of the ECIR group, noticed an increase in symptoms. And what this actually was horses that were documented as becoming laminitic without access to grass or any change in their diet. They still had the same low sugar and starch hay, they still didn't have access to grain, and they were still on a mineral balanced diet. So way back in 2004, so over 20 years ago, one of the members noticed that her horse's laminitis was pretty consistent. It seemed to happen every fall. And so her and her veterinarian actually documented a rise in ACTH during that time. Since then, the seasonal rise of ACTH has been noted and documented around the world, and it has become basically common knowledge in the veterinary community. In fact, for a while, veterinarians didn't even want to test ACTH during the fall because they were so worried that they would get a misdiagnosis of Cushing's because ACTH would be elevated, which is normal for that time of year, and they didn't want to label a horse as having Cushing's or PPID and give them a medication that they didn't need if that was their body's normal reaction to the seasonal rise. Luckily, we've had other universities and veterinarians, such as Dr. David Rendell at Liphook University, study the seasonal rise and find more of a seasonal average for ACTH during the fall, so we can more accurately parse out whether a horse is having a normal reaction to the seasonal rise or an abnormal one. So the good news is that once a horse is diagnosed with PPID, it can often be pretty well managed with medication. And the most common treatment for PPID is using a pill. The generic name is Perglide, and the brand name is Presend. So this medication has been documented by the ECIR group across countless cases for decades at this point. And these horses have tolerated this medication incredibly well with relatively few side effects. Now, that doesn't mean there's no side effects, and it doesn't mean that every single horse will do great on it. That being said, that when you're introducing it, again, I'm not a veterinarian. We're going off information from the ECIR group. The dosage should be titrated up slowly to avoid some of these side effects. What we most commonly see in about 20% of horses is some of them might struggle with what's called the Perglide veil, which can lead to them going off their feed. So they might be interested in eating hay, but they no longer want their hard feed or grain or minerals or supplements. They might act more just depressed. So in those cases with horses that are struggling with the Perglide veil, if we use adaptogens, like there's a product called APF Pro or an herb called Jiaogulan, which is a Chinese herb, that acts as an adaptogen. These can actually help mitigate those Perglide veil symptoms, especially if you start them before you titrate up that Perglide. And you can get advice on titrating up the Perglide dosage from your veterinarian or from the ECIR group online. So once diagnosed, PPID horses should have blood work done every year to check their ACTH levels and to make sure that their current dosage of Perglide is managing the disease, because it is a progressive disease. And while a dosage might work in the beginning when they're first diagnosed, they often need to have this adjusted so that their symptoms can be controlled and the progression of the disease can be slowed as much as possible. And Dr. Callen with ECIR often says that the correct dosage of Perglide is one that controls a horse's symptoms. And sometimes that might look like a lower blood work result for ACTH than what the lab range might say is normal. A lot of times these horses might need their ACTH in the teens to low 20s to be truly comfortable and truly reduce their risk of laminitis. That might not be every case, but a lot of them might need a much stricter ACTH result on blood work. So these horses will often have a lot of their symptoms resolve with that medicinal management, but it doesn't completely negate their special needs. Some of these horses will still struggle with shedding. Some of them might still have coat changes. Some of them might still have other hoof issues and concerns, and they might need extra care and management. That's where I know that I've been mentioning them a few times. That's where the ECIR group online is fantastic for troubleshooting those horses and helping to find out what other nutraceuticals or supplements or care and management can be put in place to get these horses comfortable. I will say that I have seen an incredible success rate with getting these horses on the proper dosage of medication alongside the veterinarian's careful blood work testing and making sure that we have a good hoof care pro who is able to consistently see the horse and the owner feeding a good metabolic safe diet and getting the horse a pair of therapy boots if needed to keep them comfortable. But one thing that's incredibly important is that we make sure that these horses, they're really any horse over the age of 10, is tested yearly for PPID. And this time of year can really bring out those symptoms for issues. Now, we mentioned some of the all over body symptoms and kind of alluded to generic hoof issues, but those hoof issues can really just seem like a horse with quote unquote bad feet. Some hoof issues that I've seen resolve completely with a proper diagnosis of PPID and medication include chronic thrush. So I've seen horses that have deep central sulcus infections or chronic thrush that just doesn't seem to get better. I've seen that completely resolve once they were diagnosed with PPID and on medication. One big issue that I see as a constant symptom of PPID, either undiagnosed or unregulated, is abscessing, especially abscessing issues in the fall. So it could be a stone bruise that progresses to an abscess, and all because of hoof health issues. A stretched white line or thin soles or hoof sensitivity, I've seen that improve immensely with, again, treatment. A horse that has quote unquote flat feet or no concavity, this can obviously mean that the lamina connection is not as healthy as it should be. And I've seen that completely resolve with treatment. Poor angles or underrun heels or wall quality issues such as chipping or cracking, the health of the hoof and the wall can greatly be impacted by this endocrinopathic disease. And treatment can help the body to grow healthier wall, and healthier wall can withstand forces and improve angles. I've seen treatment of PPID completely grow out white line disease and wall separation, and I've seen it completely resolve laminitis and founder. So these issues can range from something that seems to be mild to something that's pretty severe, and it's important that we look at these symptoms and see it as a way that we can try to parse out what is going on with the horse. Now, obviously, not every single horse that has these issues over the age of 10 is going to have PPID. And that's why it's really important to test and understand what you're looking at in terms of blood work ranges. And obviously, again, I'm not a veterinarian. The Tufts Endocrinology Department has a fantastic pamphlet online for the equine endocrinology department of the best ways to test. And some of the updated protocol for times of year and what is normal. The chart online does suggest that between January and June, we should use a TRH stimulation test, since naturally ACTH is lower that time of year, and it can allow for some false negatives where horses are within range, but as the seasonal rise starts to kick in July or August, and sometimes even earlier for older horses or horses that have had PPID for a while, that ACTH can rise above what is normal and can actually lead to those increased symptoms and issues in the fall. So between January and June, it is good to ask your veterinarian to see if they can do a TRH stimulation test. Dr. Andrew Van Epps at New Bolton has said at various conferences that he recommends a TRH stimulation test in the spring, yearly, starting at age 10, to catch PPID as early as possible and get it managed as early as possible, because it is a progressive disease. Between July and December, we don't really have a typical range for what is normal with a TRH stimulation test. So that is when the veterinarian would likely do an endogenous or baseline ACTH test. And this, if I have owners that test this, I find that the most helpful time, especially for horses that are already diagnosed, is to test in the late fall before the peak of the seasonal rise. So you can see if they are at risk of being out of range or abnormally high during that peak ACTH rise, and getting those horses the appropriate dosage of Pergolide to make sure that they are controlled during that time so they don't squeak over the edge into outright laminitis or other issues. Something that I've noticed with these horses is that if they have the most meticulous management, they have the most perfect diet and the most perfect turnout environment and the most perfect hoof care, if their hooves are still struggling, then that can mean that they do have an undiagnosed metabolic issue or undiagnosed PPID, and their hooves will not get better until it is diagnosed and treated properly. So if you are a hoof care professional, or if you're an owner and you have a horse where you feel like you are just chasing your tail, and maybe they're not that old, maybe they're just 14, 15, 16, but you're just chasing your tail in getting their hooves better, getting their soundness better, or getting them to not founder. Those can be those cases where they do actually have early PPID and they need some of that medicinal management. I will say that some horses come back as normal on blood work, and that can be almost frustrating, especially if you're really convinced that there is a problem. That is where that Tufts Endocrinology Department chart is really helpful. There is a lot of gray area in terms of a positive diagnosis. Basically, most of the year, anything over 15 or 20 PG per milliliter, not 100% sure what the full unit is called, can indicate a gray area where the horse might be dealing with early PPID. And if you listen back to my episode a few years ago with Dr. Deborah Taylor about laminitis, one thing that she noticed was a case that had completely normal blood work results time and time again. And after the horse died on the necropsy, they did find that it had a tumor in its pituitary gland that was responsible for probably a lot of the issues the horse was having. So in some cases, it might be worth it to ask your veterinarian if they would consider a trial of medication appropriate. And for some horses, that might be appropriate. So that's something to discuss with them. Obviously, medication, as we mentioned, is not completely benign. It's not completely inexpensive. So there are pros and cons to that. But it's something where that might help, especially if your horse has repeated founder or laminitic issues going into the late summer and fall. That can really help to see if that can really save their life. Obviously, there's so much this topic, and I wish that we had been able to record an interview with one of the amazing veterinarians that is so much more knowledgeable than I am on this topic. But being that it is the end of August and that I'm sure there are so many of you dealing with a sore horse or a horse that's having difficulty and comfort this time of year, it's important that we get this conversation open and you can talk to your veterinarian and your hoof care provider about the possibility that there's some uncontrolled or undiagnosed PPID issue. It might not be the problem with your horse, but it's important to see if that's something to rule out. Now, obviously, this is a mini episode. It is not a full-length episode, and it is a basic summary of what could be going on with a PPID horse or with a horse that's having hoof issues this time of year. So don't worry, we will be going back to our regularly scheduled podcast episodes in the next few weeks, and we will have some great guests lined up for you. And as always, if you have any suggestions or ideas for episodes, or if you just want to connect over some hoof issues, you can reach out to us at thehumblehoof@gmail.com. I always say that I'm slightly more hoof obsessed than the average person, and chances are, if you're listening to a hoof care podcast, you are too, so we should probably be friends. Feel free to find me on Facebook or email me at thehumblehoof@gmail.com.